This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Get in the know, nonstop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Oh, just FYI, I still get videos. So if you guys ever want to look at all the videos I get, he's going to be a guy that's going to come in here and he's going to have to compete. You know, we like some of the guys, you know, Mason Cole, like I talked about last night, who we traded a 6th-round pick for earlier in this process. You know, we signed Dakota Dozier back. So we're going to have a lot of competition up front, but that's what we needed to do. We needed to get better on the offensive line up front. I think we've got some very talented young guys that are going to come in, and you're going to see a very competitive group. I know, you know, one of the first games I flipped on was the Florida game, where he ended up winning a big game down at Texas A&M. Had a big game against North Carolina, I believe, in the bowl game, where he played very well. And then watching him down at the Senior Bowl. So he has a little different skill set than Kirk. So, but I know, just talking with our offensive coaches, that we feel that the mobility part of things may add some value to him as a quarterback and to this system.
Rick Spielman talking about Kellen Mond in a couple of those clips, showing us he still gets video, apparently. Were people just texting him video of Kellen Mond? Is that what he was?
No, he was like talking about guys that probably weren't going to be drafted. Like he just said, I get arbitrary people just are like, hey, watch me run
like,
the 40.
Hey, look at my
guy. Yeah, he's playing German football. He's Morris Bordinger.
Mobo.
He's the next Mobo.
This is Purple Daily, presented by TCL. Enjoy more of what you love with TCL. Mackie and Judd and our executive producer, Declan Goff. And just before we dive in, we're going to go Kellen Mond heavy here. You know, Judd's been grinding film as well on Vikings draft picks over the weekend. And we have a way too early 2022 mock draft. You thought mock season was over, but it is not. It's just getting started for 2022. But, boys, what a fun weekend. We did a couple of live streams. Declan did Eventline Wrap last night, and we just had, by all accounts, across our podcast and YouTube channels, Purple Daily and Score North, we had a record weekend. So thanks to all of you. We added 1,000 subscribers to the Purple Daily channel in the last 28 days, which is pretty awesome for us. And in turn, we love giving you daily Vikings content, daily Vikings entertainment. So that was a blast. I think it's going to be our Friday night tradition to get a few cocktails in us and break down rounds 2, 3, and speculate on rounds 4 going forward. Super fun. So, all right, here's the first question, all right? This phone call the Vikings made to Kirk Cousins, reportedly. Hey, Kirk, so you know, we're not going to make the same mistake the Packers did. We are going to draft a quarterback. We still love you. You're still our guy. Don't worry about your job or anything like that. Your thoughts on the way the Vikings handled the drafting of Kellen Mond with Kirk Cousins, especially compared to their NFC North counterpart and how that has played out the last year.
I would love to be able to find that call and like hear. My guess is with Kirk, it got uncomfortable, not like contentious.
You like that?
But like, hey, Kirk, it's Clint. Hey, Clint, what's up? Not too much. Man, what a day today, huh? Woo, draft's tough. Yeah, Clint, that's true. So what else are you doing, Kirk? It just goes on and on.
Just grilling some mystery meat. Oh, I'm going to post on my Instagram.
That's
taking
awesome.
Taking a rock out of my my countdown to death.
So, Clint, why'd you call? Yeah, about that. We're going to draft a quarterback. What?
Click.
we're going to draft a quarterback. It's nothing again. You know what? We love you. You are so good. But, yeah, we're going to draft a quarterback. Why? Well, you know, I mean, just thinking about the future. I would love to hear the back and forth, because I can't believe that a phone call like that with Kirk is comfortable.
Well, there's no comfortable way to have the discussion, right? Like, yeah, you're drafting a – I mean, the Patriots drafted Jimmy Garoppolo years ago as a second-round pick, sort of anticipating, all right, Brady's like in his late 30s. Yeah. He's still really good. But there's really no other way to frame it. Like, if we're looking for backups, we'll find backups that can hold clipboards later, right? But when you're drafting quarterbacks in the first, second, and third rounds,
yep,
you're looking for guys to replace, not now and not immediately, and we'll answer that question here, but the clock is ticking in your mind on your current quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Packers drafted Jordan Love in the first round, and that's why the Vikings drafted Kellen Mond with the 66th pick, right? There's no other way to frame it. So I think Kirk's going to be uncomfortable. I don't think Kirk loves the idea of being pushed. I think he likes having that sort of non-threatening pseudo assistant coach type backup like Sean Mannion has been. And now just think about how different the dynamic is going to be when they were 1-5 last year and he threw an interception to start the game against the Falcons in one of those games. And if there was fans in that stadium, they would have booed that team and they would have booed Kirk off the field, right? It would have been ugly.
Yes.
And so they're lucky there were no fans there. But ultimately, there's really no chance of him actually being benched. I think you wrote an article at the time for ScoreNorth.com, like, and Courtney did for ESPN.com. Like, you might have to bench this guy.
Yes.
But for what? Like, what would you bench him for last year?
Right.
And now I don't think Kellen Mond's gonna be ready to come into a game in like week 4, but now there's actually someone behind him that fans and the organization view as someone who could take over as the starting quarterback. So the dynamic is very different now than it was 4 days ago.
Yeah, in fact, I tweeted this. I got a couple notes. So I think people are confused here just a bit, okay? Kellen Mond was not drafted. I mean, Rick's not lying. Kellen Mond was not drafted to replace Kirk right now. Like, no way. No way, no how. So yes, he falls into, in that sense, a developmental category, but it's not Nate Stanley of, oh my God, we might develop in him and now he's on the practice squad. And it is a developmental category. And I got tweets saying, Kalamon's no threat here. I mean, he might fail, which is true. He might fail and he's no threat. And I said, okay, if you think he's no threat, you're wrong. He is a threat long-term to Kirk. And I said, what this does most importantly, and I mean this as a pro-Viking statement, okay? What this does is it at least establishes an expiration date on Kirk as the quarterback of this team. Now, is it going to be Mond? We don't know that. But when you have behind Kirk, when you have Mannion, Browning, and Stanley, there is no expiration date on Kirk. He is going to sit in the freezer as long as he wants, or in the fridge, you know. And
that sounds
and,
cryptic.
Well, I'm just saying, if you go
easy,
look,
easy Jack Nicholson from The Shining, just if, putting people in the freezer.
If you go into your fridge right now, I'm sure that if you start to check out the expiration dates, there are a few things that got pushed to the back and are old.
There's some ahi tuna in there,
but they just sat there, and they never got tossed out. This now gives the Vikings the ability to have, it's clear that they want to have, and this is the most important thing to me. So again, it doesn't come back to, if Kellen Mond's not a star, they screwed up. This, the most important thing to me is this, for the first time in a long time, and certainly since Kirk got here, Phil, establishes that the Vikings want to have a succession plan and that they need to put an expiration date potentially on Kirk. And that's an incredibly important step. And the way that they got here, the way that where they took Mond, what they're doing, I think is one of the smartest quarterback plays that I've seen from a franchise that's had some real missteps with that position in a long time.
Yeah. I think to answer the question here of when will Kellen Mond take over, best case scenario. Now, worst case scenario, he's just not very good and he's too rigid and all the things that maybe have held him back from being a higher draft pick come to fruition, right? He's got that Jimbo Fisher sort of rigidity to him. So there is a worst case scenario where he's just a bust, right? Or he's a backup or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the upside would be the Vikings' assistants and Clint Kubiak. They work with him behind the scenes. Kirk lends a hand even and shows him some things in the NFL because Kirk is a good NFL quarterback. And he can soak things in for a while. And he's ready if needed for, by the way, I think his base set. So his cap number will be $950 million this year.
Thousand.
And it'll go up to $1,000. Yep. And then it'll go up to $1.6 million in the fourth year of his contract. So Kellen Mond will make $950,000 to the cap, $1.2 million to the cap, $1.4 million to the cap, $1.6 million to the cap. But because he wasn't a first-round pick, you only get him for 4 years at that price, which means I think, best-case scenario, he is the Vikings starting quarterback week one of the 2022 season, which is the year that Kirk Cousins, as of right now, has the second-highest cap hit in the NFL. And the question you're going to ask as a franchise isn't who's the better quarterback for week one, 2022. Very obviously, Kirk Cousins, I would think. Maybe not, but I would think Kirk Cousins is just going to be straight up the better quarterback. It's what's the better value for the franchise? A guy who's eating up $43 or $45 million to your cap, almost 25% of your team's salary cap in 2022, yep. Or a guy that eats up $1.6 million in his fourth year, $1 million in 2022, right? It makes fiscal sense for the Vikings to do this if all things go well for week one of 2022. Am I too fast on that clock?
Potentially, but your idea is spot on, and I am willing to bet that they have the same thought, and here's why. To go back to the discussion that we had about this last week, I believe if you go to Over the Cap and check it out, Kirk Cousins can be traded after next season, and I think it's $10 million in dead cap money, but you save yes. 35, correct? So, yes. I mean, it is an enormous, and there would be a team that would trade for Kirk. I think from a business standpoint, this now is smart, and here's why. The Vikings almost certainly went to Kirk in March and said, we'd like to redo your contract. I'm sure they talked about an extension and bringing the cap hits down for 2021 and 22. And Kirk quite clearly has gone on the record as saying, no, peace out. I'm good. I'm good here. I like my contract. It's a good contract. Mm-hmm. And right now, the 2022 season is guaranteed, which would then flip to a different team if he got traded. But as soon as Kirk said that, the Vikings' philosophy had to be, and it looks like it was, okay, cool, that's fine, but we are going to have now a real contingency plan. So it's not going to be Mannion's your backup now again, right? The contingency plan is going to be, we are going to attempt to find, and attempt is the key word here, it's attempt to find and develop a quarterback behind you who, if things go according to plan and he has makes progress behind the scenes in 21, that you can make that Cousins trade, because I guarantee you can trade him and start 22 with Mond, who's dirt cheap. And as we also discussed, and this is the most important thing, this potentially comes down to a very simple question. Do you, for 2022, value Kirk Cousins' presence as your quarterback or Danielle Hunter, if totally healthy, as your dominant left end there? Because I think to give Danielle what he wants, if he is willing to be patient, and that's an if as well, but if he's willing to be patient, I think it's very much going to come down to how are you going to find the room to pay him? And part of that comes from subtracting the cap hit of Kirk Cousins.
Yep, and that's what this is all about. I mean, if this was like Major League Baseball, where you just had unlimited resources that you could spend on a roster, and it was just based on who brings in the most revenue and who wants to spend the most, right? Well, it would very rarely make sense to move off a good player in his prime for financial reasons, because why would you, right? Unless you're like leaking money as a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
But in the NFL, there's a salary cap, and that's the entire when we sit here on the show and we talk about wanting the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die, a lot of it is, and our criticisms are how they allocate money to the cap, right? They spend, you know, their second highest player to the cap last year was Danielle Hunter, or I'm sorry, Anthony Barr, for instance, right? A linebacker, their second best linebacker. They're paying Dalvin Cook a lot of money. They're paying a good quarterback great money. And so our criticisms have been, well, where's the room to pay offensive linemen? You want Joe Tooney in free agency, you can't afford him because Kirk has this bloated contract, right? So if you moved on from that contract after 2021, let's see, you trade him, you take the $10 million cap hit off a trade, but you save $35 million, you know, subtract the $1 million from Kellen Mond's contract, and you're really, like, you're saving $34 million at that position in 2022. And now you get to spend that on a Danielle Hunter extension and or a Brian O'Neill extension and or free agents. And that doesn't count other players that you might say goodbye to or restructure on your roster. And so it just gives you so much flexibility. Now, I get that there would be risk in moving off of a proven known commodity quarterback in Cousins for an inexperienced guy. And he could turn into Tavares Jackson or Christian Ponder. He absolutely could. But the Vikings went 10-6 with both of those quarterbacks too, even though they were bad, because they built the roster around them, and those guys didn't make very much money.
Mm-hmm.
So for all those reasons, it's not a debate over who's going to be the better actual quarterback week one 2022. It's a debate over the best way to build your roster to maximize your chances to win, and that's why I think all eyes are on 2022 and how Mond develops over the next year or so.
And if Mike comes back, he's faced with this. Do you want Danielle or Kirk? And if Kirk's gone, there might be some pain there. It might be tough. But you're going to be a lot unhappier of camper if Hunter is gone. And so the choice here, and the thing that's intriguing, if Mond develops, so, and he gets a year to basically sit and watch and practice and be fine-tuned, okay? I will say this. I am incredibly intrigued by the skill set in grinding film that he brings that Kirk, and this is not Kirk's fault, it's not him, that Kirk doesn't have. There is a 2021-22 quarterback skill set with Mond that if he makes the correct progression, there are going to be problems. He's going to throw some picks. I get that. The accuracy of Kirk is superior to Mond right now. All of that, I get it. But when you watch that film, doesn't it intrigue you what he can do and what Kirk just simply can't do? I mean, aren't you like,
it does, yeah.
Ooh, that might be a good thing to have in your arsenal in 2022.
Yeah. Speaking of film, by the way, admit it. I was on YouTube a lot more after I knew who the Vikings were drafting, right? I was on YouTube watching Kellen Mond breakdowns. JT O'Sullivan did a three-part breakdown on his quarterback school YouTube channel.
Love it.
And in one of the videos, he was outlining the first play of the Texas A&M Alabama game from this last season. And it was very much a meat and potatoes dive, like a film study dive. But he was showing, this may look like a standard throw, but here's why it's not. And here's why this type of throw means that Kellen Mond thinks another level ahead of most college quarterbacks.
Interesting.
And it was, there was the route, that's right, the route concept.
Route concepts are important.
Was on the right side of the line, you had bubble screen action coming from, I think it might have even been a receiver in motion coming for a bubble screen around to the right side. So like kind of a wheel route a little bit, right? He's rounding the route off so he's available.
Yes.
And then the receiver on the right side is running a slant route over the middle. And what happened on this play was the left defensive end. So as you're the quarterback, I guess it would be the defensive end to your right. He comes on and breaks free, essentially. And so the quarterback, Kellen Mond, has to make a decision. Okay, the ball is snapped. This guy is unblocked coming at me. And JT O'Sullivan said the easy throw here is just throw it to the wheel route. Like he's running out of the backfield. Just throw it over there to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever happens, happens. Mm-hmm. The harder throw is to throw the slant before the receiver has gotten to his spot.
Oh,
because
there's
a defender in your face.
Yes.
And you're throwing a slant to a spot where the receiver has not gotten to yet.
Cojones.
And for that reason, he broke down that one play for like 6 minutes.
Football.
That's awesome.
I saw that one play and I was like, I know Kirk can do that sort of too, but I don't care, man. I'm in on Kellen Mond day one, baby. Just call that same play. The same play all game long. Handoffs to Dalvin, and that exact same play that I saw in that film from J.T. O'Sullivan.
Oh, I love it. And you know what, though? I think Mond, so I think Mond versus Kirk, Mond has, and this is good and bad, Mond has a cannon for an arm and is willing to thread the ball in to a guy where Kirk doesn't like to because it might get picked off. Now, that's the problem. But, yeah, I think there's some, I think there's there. Like, I don't think this is a, it might not work, but I am hesitant to be too cynical about it right now because off the point that you're talking about, I think that the year of development potentially could be huge, like really important here. And this is why I love, this is the other thing about it being a third round pick. I love the fact that there will be fan pressure, but the team knows he really can't play it or shouldn't play it. Like, this is all about you're going to learn, film study, practice, refinement, right? Like, if it's a first-round pick, you know as well as I do that by about week six, we're all like, well, he better play or he's going to be ruined. when you take out that pressure with a guy that's got some talent, I love the ability to sit back and be able to learn to actually have you prepared much more to play the following season.
But that pressure is still going to exist, even though he's a third round pick. Like, I can, all right, like Declan, if Kirk has a terrible 3-game stretch in September or early October, are we not going to hear cries for Kellen Mond?
Yes.
Well, fan base, you will.
People aren't going to be like, well, yeah, it'd be nice to see the backup quarterback, but I don't know if he's ready with film study yet. Like, people are going to say, put him in now. That's what people are going to say.
Right, but that's fans. That's us. I'm talking about from a team standpoint. From a team standpoint,
you know, pressure too.
You know as well as I
Jobs
do, though.
On the line.
If it's a first round pick, okay, everybody, including the team, feels pressure. And I think when it's a first round pick, the problem starts upstairs. Owners are like, "You took this guy in the first round." I think there's a much easier path to say, okay, Ziggy and Mark, the fans are complaining. They're mad. We're not there yet. And we told you we wouldn't be there yet.
Do you think if they had drafted, let's say the Kellen Mond draft, let's say he had played his senior season at Texas A&M last year, and they had made this pick last year, and he was the backup quarterback last year, and the Vikings are 1-5, headed into a bye week, and Kirk was playing like garbage, led the league in interceptions, right? He had like 11 picks in the first 5 or 6 games.
Correct.
How do you think they would have handled that last year? The cries for Kellen Mond would have been off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they would have felt pressure coming out of the bye to go with Kellen Mond?
I think they might have felt some pressure, but I don't think if it was an exact parallel of a third round pick, I don't think they'd do it. I really don't. I think there's a very good case to be made here that unless Kirk gets hurt, which he, to Kirk's credit, ordinarily does not. I think there's a really good case to be made here to everyone who's important with this team that this is going to be a work in progress.
I think you're giving a lot of credit to a franchise that once put Josh Freeman in a Monday Night Football game with like 4 days of prep.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what, though?
I mean, like, Rick Spielman was the GM when that happened, too.
But Les was the coach. But my point is this. I like what they did here, but you've got to see it through in the right way.
Yep.
Like, now is not the time to be like, we picked him, let's audible and let's play, let's have him play. I really like what they've done here, but you've got to let this play out in the right way. So if you're going to get it, so if Kirk's going to get off to a bad start and you're going to be like, let's play Kellen Mond, there's a very good chance that you're going to ruin Kellen Mond.
Yeah. So just final poll, and then we'll get into some other stuff here. Declan, best case scenario, Kellen Mond is the starting quarterback for the Vikings when?
2022. I'm doubling down what you guys just said too, or what Phil said earlier in the pod, that the best case scenario is he doesn't touch the field in 2021. That the Vikings roll, your offensive line is better, Justin Jefferson takes another step, you have all these weapons that are ready to roll, your defense, I think, is going to be improved. I'm still skeptical that it gets back to being a top 10 level, but it's improved. There's no way it's the same or worse than it was last season, pending catastrophic injuries. And with Kellen Mond, yeah, he's a project. This is not a guy who's going to be ready to step in. You know, I think Teddy was mostly ready. He was thrown to the fire a little bit because Castle got hurt early in that 2014 season. But everyone knew Teddy was mostly going to be ready. It was, can he rise up and can he be even better than just being NFL ready, right? But Kellen Mond is an athletic freak, but definitely has some flaws to his game and is going to benefit, I think, from definitely sitting for a year and being in that room. So best case scenario is he does not touch the field at all in 2021.
Mm-hmm. Great. Judd, are we all?
Oh yeah.
2022. Yeah. Okay.
Ideally, yes.
Is there any way it's 2023? Is there any way that they? I don't think there's any way Kirk plays on a $45 million cap number for next year. So, so part of my logic here is
they're not
they have two choices.
Then
they'll either trade him, cut him, which doesn't make sense. Somebody will give him a late round pick or early round pick, depending on how good he is,
and it's guaranteed.
Or they extend him, thus negating the value of Kellen Mond to begin with, unless they think he's a backup. If they think Kellen Mond's a backup, then none of this conversation matters.
I think right now, as we discussed this, your idea is right. I think they are thinking that. I think when Kirk told them, I'm good on my contract, they internally said, we have to find his replacement for 22. Now, if Mond comes in and stinks the joint out, it might change things completely. Because Kirk is not a disaster. But if Mond comes in and shows the requisite development, I think that internally they have probably said the exact same things that we just did. Mm-hmm.
So, Judd, do you want to give us any additional film observations from your weekend watching these Vikings graphics, or do you want to get right into the way too early 2022?
I'd like to give a couple things very, very quickly, okay?
Football.
First time in feels like forever, I'm actually excited to see the Vikings offensive line. The Darisaw pick I love. Wyatt Davis, third round pick, I think is going to step in at right guard. I think Ezra Cleveland is going to shift to left guard. And here's what I love. Darisaw and Davis are big bodies. Now, I don't know. Perhaps they can zone block and they're athletic. And if they are, congratulations. But I want some O-lineman that can kick some opponent ass. And I'm tired of this. We got a guy and look how quick he gets 10 yards down the field to block for Dalvin. And meanwhile, quarterback's getting killed, okay? I love the fact that they said, where's the beef? Here's the beef right here. This is going to be, if this offensive line has some issues with run blocking, my confidence in Dalvin Cook is really high. I think he's still going to be damn good, right? When they have issues in pass protection, my confidence is very low. I love the fact that they got two big guys, and I love the fact that they are at least going back to, we have to have guys who are tough up front.
Yeah, Wyatt Davis might have been, in terms of just pure on-paper value, might have been the best value pick the Vikings had all weekend. So he went 86th off the board, third-round pick, 86th. He was the 61st-ranked player on PFF's board, and he was 53rd on the consensus big board, like the 60 different big boards out there in the mockosphere. With a peak of 11, somebody had him, I don't know which one, I'd have to go dig, but like somebody had him 11th on a big board.
That's remarkable.
Somewhere on the internet.
Wow.
So to get a guy that was graded widely as a second-round pick and maybe even like a borderline first-round pick, some injury issues might have scared some teams off. To get him with the 86th pick is great. And I'm with you. I mean, what I'm about to say speaks more to how shaky their offensive line has been, but they may have found 40% of their offensive line starters in this draft over the weekend.
Yeah.
In Darisaw and Wyatt Davis.
I think they did.
Yeah. Very interesting.
I think you're right. Last thing. Last third-round pick, Patrick Jones, the second defensive end pick. I'm going to tell you this right now, and I'm not guaranteeing it, but I think that there's a parallel in thought process. Okay, Phil Mackey? Patrick Jones II is known as a guy that can rush the QB, but outside of that, his game is lacking. Okay? 17.5 sacks the past 2 years, though. I think he is their new project, Danielle Hunter-like guy. Like, all he does is rush the quarterback and get sacks. Okay, I can work with that, right? I am not saying it's going to work. It might blow up. He might be on the practice squad. Hell, in a year, he might be gone. But I am saying that when you look at a guy who is 6'4", 261 pounds, and you've got a coaching staff defensively that's damn good, they are, we know that, I think that they looked and said, oh, all he does is rush the passer? Give him to us.
Yeah. And you know what? All he really has to do, I mean, yeah, they are looking for a starting edge rusher to play like 800 snaps, but you know, it might be that they have to mix and match. Maybe DJ Wonnum plays 400 snaps, and maybe Patrick Jones plays 200 snaps, mostly on third downs or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not even counting, by the way, Janarius Robinson.
Football.
The defensive end out of Florida State, the Vikings took with a 134th pick, and credit to our guy Randy in Cottage Grove. Actually, Dex, do we have that audio nearby? Can we play the evidence of Randy in Cottage Grove, who has nailed Mike Hughes in the first round? He nailed Justin Jefferson in the first round, and he took his talents to the middle of the draft when he came on our show 2 days before on Mackey and Judd and said this.
Now we go to 90, and Zim's going to get a new toy, as they say. Janarius Robinson, Florida State, he can really fly off the edge. And he's going to be a fun bookend there for Daniel Hunter. Janarius Robinson is a great value at 90. I love that pick.
That's damn good. Way to go, Randy.
Yeah, people get all hot and bothered by Mel Kiper and Todd McShay and Daniel Jeremiah.
What's in those cocktails? That's a question, Randy. What's in those cocktails? Draft genius.
Mock juice.
God.
I want to mock.
Boys, you thought mock draft season was over. You thought wrong, because mock draft season is just beginning on FoxSports.com.
Amazing.
This is a way too early 2022 NFL mock draft by Jason McIntyre, presented by our friends at Federated Mutual Insurance Company. Looking for insurance for your quarterback? Vikings picks them up. Looking for insurance to protect your quarterback along the left side of the offensive line? Vikings found some of that too. If you're looking for insurance to protect your business, Federated Mutual Insurance Company has been around in the state of Minnesota for over 100 years. They're one of us, based in Owatonna, and they have been providing blindside protection for businesses.
Oh,
for that
entire look at what you did
year.
There.
That's right.
Nice.
Federated Football is here. Frontline protection, risk management tools. Never lose an ounce of sleep because you're worried about risk and your business. Find out more at federatedinsurance.com. Remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. Now, one of the most interesting things about these way too early mock drafts is where the mockers have each team, right? Because it's sort of a it's a thought exercise in how bad or good do they think these teams are going to be.
Absolutely.
I have not looked at this at all, so we're all consuming this for the first time. Jason McIntyre has JT Daniels, quarterback Georgia, going to the Detroit Lions, number one overall next year.
So Jared Goff is not going to do the trick in Detroit.
And Dan Campbell is about to win two games,
yeah,
it sounds like.
And then get fired.
And then bite some kneecaps on his way out the door. Houston Texans taking Desmond Ridder, quarterback from Cincinnati, which is interesting. There's a few different reasons why Deshaun Watson may not be playing in Houston much longer.
Yeah.
See what happens. Let's see. Eagles taking an edge rusher from Oregon. Let's just kind of fly through this here. Bengals at 4. Raiders at 5, taking Spencer Rattler, quarterback, Oklahoma.
Are the Bengals going to be that bad again?
I mean, they're not going to be great, right? And
no,
Joe Burrow might not start week one.
No, but drafting 4th is more than not great.
Yeah, it's like 5 wins. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, are you like... The Ravens are in that division. The Steelers are always formidable. The Browns are good. That's a tough division.
Yeah.
I don't see the Bengals like making the playoffs this year.
I'd put them at 7 or 8 wins probably.
They're still the Bengals,
yeah,
until they prove otherwise.
All right.
All right. The Jets at 6, so still kind of a train wreck. Wow. Patriots at 7.
Oh, that's a bad year for Belichick.
Man, don't draft Mac Jones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's a good point.
Okay, so Giants at 8 here,
yep,
and that includes the Justin Fields trade of this year's first round
pick. So that's the Bears. So that's the Bears pick.
Yep. So they got the Bears as the 8th worst team.
Yep.
Titans taking the 4th quarterback here, Sam Howell, quarterback, North Carolina.
Okay.
So still no Vikings, it's good. No train wreck here. Carolina Panthers at 10th, Eagles at 11th. Oh, wow. Vikings at 12th here.
That's not great.
Drafting edge rusher Drake Jackson from USC.
This is what I wanted from McShay, because I predicted that they would mock a defensive player to the Vikings. Darn it.
Yeah, Jackson has tallied 7.5 sacks and 17 tackles for loss in 2 seasons. That's all the information we get.
I want to mock!
Can you drag down to the Packers? I'm curious where they're predicting the Packers are going to finish then.
another quarterback, Jaden Daniels, to Arizona State.
That might not be a bad pick for them at that point.
Let's see. They've got the Packers. I mean, the fact that the Packers are up here somewhere means that Rodgers is playing, right?
Yeah. I mean, we're to 22, and we still don't have the Packers.
24, 25.
Oh, what the?
26, 27. Baltimore.
Cleveland drafting 27.
Yeah, we're in an NFC Championship game. Too.
28. They've got the Packers drafting Chris. Is it Olave or Ole from
Packers? Ain't
Ohio
taking a
State.
Wide receiver in the first round. They don't do that.
It says obviously this Packers prediction is with Aaron Rodgers under center in 2021. Yeah. My man, that ain't happening.
They got the Bills 29th.
That ain't happening.
They got looking
for Tanner Morgan here.
Tampa Bay back in the Kansas City.
Tanner Morgan. So the Super Bowl is, wait a second.
Oh, they got the Rams.
Lions. Oh, he's got the Rams.
He's got the Rams in the Super Bowl.
Wow, the Rams and the Chiefs.
Yep.
And then he's got the Rams winning the Super Bowl, or is that right?
Yeah. Yep, 32nd. That's the team that wins Super Bowl.
Wow, that's the hottest take on this mock.
No kidding.
The Rams winning the Super Bowl. All right.
I want a mock! Mock!
Cool. All right, boys, that's the way too early. Now, we haven't got... Todd McShay, I feel like, is the official way too early.
He's got to do one.
I have not seen one.
For my write that down purposes, he's got to do one.
He's very public about how much he hates it.
Yeah,
so
but
maybe,
that's why
maybe,
it's fun.
Maybe he finally
that's why it's
it
fun.
Out of his contract.
Probably just hates it.
I love these mocks.
Let me just Google here. Todd McShay, 2022 mock draft.
All right.
He does not have one yet.
Okay.
He does not have
one
yet.
Well, I'm very disappointed.
Is it possible that he... renegotiated his contract. He's like, I'll take less money.
What happens
if you
to my
don't make
write that
do
down really if he doesn't do it?
It's wrong.
It's wrong. Yeah, you miss it.
It was a parlay, really. It was he will do a mock draft and it will say this.
If he does not do a mock draft, wrong. I feel that I have a lawsuit against him because he broke the promise that he always does that mock draft.
Now he's costing you money because right. Your value as an entertainer is predicated on
him
having
doing
this
his
content
bleeping
for you to
job,
rip off of.
McShay.
Yep. all right, boys. Well, that puts a wrap. Now, tomorrow, we were going to do this today, but we got really deep into the Kellen Mond hypotheticals. I think tomorrow we should start to set some expectations around here, okay? What is the bar for the 2021 Minnesota Vikings? Let's think on that overnight. Stay up all night if you have to ponder that important question. And we'll dive into it on tomorrow's episode. That work for you guys?
I'll be up all night for sure now. Yeah. I won't
and
sleep
I know
a
Declan's
wink.
Declan's been working on some guests. I know at some point we'll get PFF Eric. We're trying to get Chris Sims because he's so high on Kellen Mond. And so we'll see if that comes to fruition this week too. But that's a wrap on today's episode of Purple Daily presented by TCL. Daily Vikings Entertainment. Please click subscribe and like on the Purple Daily YouTube channel, and check out Mackie and Judd, our other daily show, as well. We'll see you guys tomorrow.